Acts 1. Let's talk operating some power. Acts 1, verse 8. So Jesse Carr, the lighter thing, come on. No one thought of that before. Amazing. I can't do it. I can't do it.
You've got spirit.
Oh, I got spirit. I used to smoke too. Okay, Acts 1:8. Jesus Christ talking to the apostles here. And he tells them, but you shall, absolute tense, you are going to receive what?
Power.
What are you going to receive?
Power.
Power. Dunamis. Natural capability. Inherent power, right? What is in here is the lighter fluid, right? It's in here. It's able to catch on fire. It is able to catch on fire. You got to do something about it though, right? So that's what we got. When we got born again, we got what they got, all right? The Holy Spirit came upon them, and what did they get? Power, ability, the ability to do some stuff. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's what he told them. It's the same Holy Spirit that we got when we believed Romans 10:9, what Jesse shared. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's see some things, some ways we can catch on fire. What can this thing do? 1 Corinthians 12. I gotta get my thing out. Verse 7 says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who?
Everybody.
Who?
Everybody.
Everybody to do what?
Profit.
Benefit. There is benefit. And everybody gets to do this. Okay? So don't get that twisted. Everybody gets to do this. It's given to every man to profit withal. How can you profit? What are some of the ways that you can benefit from this? 4 to 1. One prophet is given by the Spirit the word of what?
Wisdom.
You know what to do. And you never could have known what to do. To another, the word of knowledge. I know something that would be impossible for me to know otherwise. God can show me that. God can show you that. What to do. What's going on. That you would never have any idea otherwise. By the same what?
Spirit.
It's the same Spirit. It's what you've got. It's what I've got. It's what those guys got on the day of Pentecost. It's the same Spirit. Same, same, same. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. We heard that one today. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same, in case you messed it up earlier, one self-same Spirit. All of these work that one and the self-same Spirit. Then how come everybody doesn't do all nine? There are 9 manifestations listed here. How come everybody doesn't do all 9? Just read the rest of the verse. Dividing to every man severally as he what? That's it. Here's this word will. In the Greek, which, you know, these were likely originally written in Greek or Aramaic, so sometimes we look at those words. In Greek, the word is boulomai, and it means it's to have a purpose or like a wish or an intention, but it's formed after mature deliberation. It's something that you think about and decide to do. It's not just something you feel like doing, that you maybe want to do, that you'd really like to do someday. It's something you've thought about and decided that you are going to do. That's what that word means. There's another word, thelema, for just what you want, what you'd like. Wish it could happen. Would be great. Would be nice. This is not would be nice. This is I'm gonna do this. You can. I can do all of this. It's up to us if we are going to do it, right? I'm going to do this. That is how you operate power. I'm going to No, I'm not. John 14. I could, you know, wish till I was blue in the face that that thing would catch on fire. You know? What's the Drew Barrymore as a little kid, right? Is that Firestarter?
Yes.
Yeah. So she's, right, she just blew people up because she wanted them to. Right? Or like the Twilight Zone kid that sends people to the cornfield. If you don't know anything I'm talking about, I'm sorry. But like, you know, whatever. You know, when you were a kid, like, I wish, like, I don't know. I was so lazy, I wanted like a grappling hook all the time. So that like, I wouldn't actually have to get up, you know? I could just grapple and have it like Batman had, where it would just pull me up. So like, or a Spider-Man or something, but like, you can wish, want that all you want, but like, I was still just lying in bed, right? I was still just on the couch, you know? You gotta get up off the couch. I had to get up off the couch, right? I can wish till I'm blue in the face. Can I get up? I gotta get up. You know, I was able. John 14, 12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me." So what are you supposed to do something here?
Believe.
It says, "He that believed on me." So there is a condition, right? The works that I do, shall he do also. And that's the end of the verse, right?
No.
Greater works. Okay? Greater works. So, I don't see how Jesus Christ can be God if he's telling people that they can do greater works than him. I don't think you can do greater works than God. But anyway, greater works than these shall he do because I do what? I'm going to go to my Father. Greater works than what is some stuff that Jesus Christ did? Just shout them out. All right, one at a time, maybe. Raise your hand. Let's get some Bill. Yeah, he raised people from the dead. That, you know, whatever. Yeah, go ahead, Bibiana. He healed a leper. He healed a few lepers. Jay.
He sight back to the blind.
Okay. Too late. It was blind, right?
Water into wine.
Water into wine. All right. L. Hey. JC.
Cast out devil spirits.
Yeah, that's right.
Loaves and fishes.
Loaves and fishes, man. Just making food. You know, some of those are like life-changing, earth-shattering. Right? I'm not dead anymore because of this guy, right? And others like, he just fed people. They ran out of wine at a party. Greater works than that is what Jesus Christ is saying in this verse, isn't he? Greater works. But what do you have to do?
Believe.
You got to believe. You got to believe. Ephesians 1. He's going to his Father, you know? He did it. Did he do some work? You know? Like, do you think he needs to do more? You think he did a good enough job?
Yeah.
You know, perfect life. He let him torture him, kill him, mock him. And then he got up from the dead. He believed God. That's the least we can do. You know, we got a lot less pressure than he had. Ephesians 1:19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who," what?
Believe.
Get up off the couch. Believe. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. That's the exceeding greatness of the power. We believe it. Will God show you this stuff? Will God do for you what he did for Jesus Christ, what he did for those guys in Acts, what he does for the people you look up to now that walk with God? Can he do it for you? Yes. What's the difference? Believing's the only difference. God's not a respecter of persons, right? That means he doesn't play favorites. And we saw it's the same spirit. The same, the same, the same, the same. One in the self, same spirit. It's the same manifestations. It's the same ability, the same power. What's the exceeding greatness of his power to us, where we believe? According to the working of his mighty power. This is the power we're talking about. It's the same power which he wrought in Christ when he did a little thing called raising that guy from the dead. And he's still up. So it was like a pretty good, right? He did a pretty good job with it, right? That's some power. And then set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all the other principalities, powers, What we think of as power on earth, what we think of as real authority and power, is nothing compared to what God can do. It is nothing. The most powerful person on earth has nothing on God. He can create. He can make something out of nothing. Maybe we feel a little bit like nothing sometimes. God can work with anything and anyone. He is limited by nothing. That's your God. That's who gave you Holy Spirit and who gave you the ability to manifest this. So you can. He didn't mess up, right? He didn't leave a little out for you. You've got it. We just need to believe it. That's how we operate it, you know? Jesus Christ, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but like we'll take care of anything else that's gonna come along the pike, right? That's Jesus Christ, you know? So what do we believe? 2 Corinthians 1. What do you believe in? We believe in ourselves? Is that the goal? Huh? Second Corinthians 1. Oh, my name's on this. Patty. Okay. That's cool. Jesse has a silver pen. Do you didn't drink yours?
I drank glasses.
Oh, Lance has a blue one. Mine's blue. Okay. Listen, 2 Corinthians 1:9. What's this saying? Okay. This is what Paul is saying about him and some of the other believers. Look, they had this sentence of what? Death in themselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in who?
God.
Not trust in ourselves. You shouldn't trust in yourself. I shouldn't trust in myself. I'm not smart or strong. I'm stupid and weak. You know? I know that about myself. If my life, if my success in life hinges on my ability to do stuff, oh yeah, I'm depressed. Oh yeah, I'm defeated. Oh yeah, I'm confused and fearful. How could I be any? I know me. I know my limitations, right? I know something will come along that I cannot handle. But what did God say in manifestations? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is not about self-confidence. This is about God confidence. We are building confidence in God. In the spirit that he's given us. That's what we're confident in. Confident in ourselves? Stupid. Right? We're not to trust in it. God raises the dead, it says here. That's who you trusted. The guy that can get people up from the dead. The one, the guy, whatever. God. That's who you should trust in. That's who I should trust in. Who delivered us from so great a death, and what? He keeps at it. He's still delivering. You know? And don't get it twisted. He is still delivering. God is still doing stuff. We decide to be part of it or not. We decide if we're going to be part of what God's got going on or not. He's not going to stop. And we trust that he's going to yet deliver us. He's going to keep at it. Romans 6. Clock says it's 5:02. Romans 6. I hope I haven't been talking that long. Okay. 3:00. I'm right there. All right, whatever. Romans 6. 6. Knowing this, that our old man, right? This is what Jesse was talking about. The natural man, the one without spirit, okay? Our old way of doing things, our old way of thinking, our old man is what? With him. When Jesus Christ got crucified, our old man went with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that's dead is freed from what?
Sin.
It's like, what are they going to do? Throw your dead body in jail? That's the idea here, right? It's like, you got out. You escaped. Like, it's a perfect plan. You die. They got to get you out of jail, and then God raised you up as like a new person. If you go to verse 11, likewise, this is how you're supposed to think of this. We're supposed to think of our old man as what? Reckon ye also yourselves. You're dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We do not trust in our own ability to do stuff. Right? We don't need to feel more able on our own to do stuff. We need to know that God is able and that God will work with us, you know, even though we don't deserve it, even though we can be, you know, jerks sometimes. 2 Corinthians 12. So Paul was having a rough time, and God basically showed him, like, the book of Revelation. Like, he showed him, like, the future. It's pretty cool. So he, like, got to see the future. And that made him feel better. Getting to see, like, the future, this crazy revelation that God shows him, right? And then the devil didn't like that. So what happens? In verse 7, he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, right? I'm just, like, I'm on top of the world. Because of all this crazy cool stuff God showed me. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, right? To take me down a few pegs. Spiritually, right? Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is enough for you. For my strength, and that's this word dunamis, my power, is made perfect in what?
Weakness.
Interesting, huh? In weakness. It's made perfect. And made perfect is like, it's consummated. It's brought to, it's perfected. It's, that's what it's supposed to do. That's what it can work the most fully. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Where am I? What verse?
Verse 9.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Most gladly, therefore, this is Paul saying, all glory in infirmities. When things don't go well, I know the power of Christ can. If I can't do it, and I know I can't do it, then I got, then Jesus take the wheel, right? Then good. Like, it's good to be reminded that we can't do stuff if we let God do it instead. If we allow the power of God to take place, like our own cool plans, our own try hard, whatever, you know? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am dunamis, powerful. Interesting way to live your life, you know? Let's go to Philippians 2. These were weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties. Those are other ways you could translate those words that Paul was saying. When that stuff happens, doesn't bug me at all, you know? I like that it's an opportunity for God to do something. I like that it's an opportunity for the power of God to take place of my own whatever, my own ability. And in Philippians 2, verse 5, we've got some instruction from God, which says, let this mind be in you, this way of thinking, which was also in who? This is how he thought, all right? This is how he thought. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, all right? A son and a father had equal standing in the lands and times of the Bible, right? So he was a firstborn son. And robbery means he didn't use it for personal gain. The fact that he was the only begotten Son of God, he didn't use it to get stuff for himself. That's how he thought, okay? But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a what? Made himself of no reputation means he emptied himself. He emptied himself and decided to serve. This is how he thought. He thought, me, what I want, let's get that out of here. Let's just remove that. I'm going to serve God instead. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became what? Obedient. So it wasn't about what he wanted. He listened to God and did what God told him to do. And so he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And what happened? God highly exalts him, gives him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, how many knees gonna bow? I probably told the story to you guys a bunch of times. What time was I witnessing? And I must have been in like a mood or something like that. So I saw one guy walking by, and I was like, hey man, do you believe in God? And he was like, nope. And I was like, you will. but it's true. That's every knee's gonna bow, right? He's the exalted one now. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Now, people can say what they want, but it doesn't change the fact that he is at the right hand of God, and every knee's gonna bow, all right? I mean, that's just going to happen. Things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue, what? They're all gonna have to admit it. Everybody's gonna have to admit that he's the Lord, that he's the boss, all right? He won to the glory of God the Father. You know, that's our brother. That's our example. And he emptied himself. Galatians 3. Galatians 3:5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith, of believing? What's this saying? It's not about your works and what you do. That's not how you get to minister the Spirit and work miracles. How do you get to do that? You hear and you believe. You hear and you believe. You hear and you believe. John 5. This is exactly the formula for Jesus Christ's success. In John 5, verse 30. Someone want to read? Yeah.
John 5:30 says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which
hath
sent me.
Think so. That's Jesus Christ. I can of mine own self do
nothing.
If anybody could have of his own self done something, probably that guy. I think he was a pretty cool dude. I'd like to be like him. He said, I can't do anything by myself. I can't do anything by myself. I can't do anything by myself. That was his attitude. That's how you operate power. It's not about us. It's not about what we want. We listen and we believe. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but whose. If we want to do what God wants, then he can tell us. If we're not asking, we're not going to hear anything. And if we don't want to listen when we hear, then we're not going to do it. This is about our decision of the will. Decision of the will. Right? That boom, I think, that we saw. 2 Corinthians 4. What time did we start? Same enough?
235?
Okay. 235. Okay. Thank you. All right. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure, this is our Holy Spirit, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of who? It's not about how good or bad or whatever you are or I am. It's got nothing to do with it. Your flesh, your inability, is a non-factor in your operation of power. And you need to believe that. It does not matter that you can't do this or that. And knowing that we can't do this or that is an advantage in this case. Because we'll let God tell us what to do. And the one who listens, obeys, and follows through on it gets to see the miracles. Gets to see crazy stuff happen. Everyone in here has the ability. Do we believe it? Do we believe it's Christ in us? Acts 3. Acts 3, verse 1. This is after the day of Pentecost. These dudes have Holy Spirit now, and they're just doing their thing. So they go up together, Peter and John, to the temple at the hour of prayer. It's the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, is carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I'll give you that instead. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This dude could never walk, and now he can. You could give that to somebody. But what did Peter do? Did he just walk by the guy and the guy just got up? He talked to him, grabbed him by the hand. He told him to look at him, all that stuff. Where do you think he got those wacky ideas? God told him what to do, and he just listened and did it. That's it. That was his role. You know? And now this guy can walk. Look at this. He leaping up, he stood, he walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, yeah. He could never walk before. This is an amazing miracle. And it's so crazy. Look, all these people see him walking and praising God. And they knew this guy. They knew this guy. It was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which has happened to them. And in verse 12, Peter says something pretty crazy. When Peter saw it, he answered to the people, "You men of Israel, why what? Why are you marveling at this?" We should get there. Where it's not a marvel to see miracles, to see God. Because everyone in this room can do this, right? Everyone in this room. Why are you marveling at this? And then this question, or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his son Jesus, who you delivered up, right? You jerks, Jesse said, denied him in the presence of Pilate and determined to let him go. But look, verse 16, his name. It was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this guy got up and walked. And it was in his name, through believing in his name, that hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him and given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It wasn't their own power or holiness or goodness. What was it? It was Christ in them. It was Christ in them. It was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He was the perfect dude. He's the one who walked perfectly. He's the one who died and got up, right? But that's who's in us. That's who's in you. That's what we have, right? And he emptied himself and he obeyed God, and that's all we got to do is just listen. You just listen and do what God says, and stuff like this can happen. And that's all Jesus Christ did. You know? Man, we don't have time to go to this other stuff, but let's go to Ephesians 3 to close here. You know, he's the one they rejected, you know. He's the one who didn't play their games. He wasn't good enough for their little religious organizations and stuff like that. They didn't like him, right? They killed him, usually, right? Probably don't like somebody. So what? So maybe they'll talk about you. Let them talk. They said worse about Jesus Christ than they'll say about you. Who cares? It doesn't change the Christ in you. It doesn't change what you can do. It doesn't change your calling and what God will do for you in your life as you walk with him and believe. Let him talk. Who cares? They'll know nothing until you speak the word to them. Then they'll know something. You know? Then they'll know something. Let them talk. Ephesians 3, verse 16. It's a wonderful prayer. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what?
Believe.
Believe it's Christ in you. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works. Could Jesus Christ speak in tongues? Could you get anybody born again? That's two of them. You can do those. You can do two things that Jesus Christ couldn't do. Greatest believer ever to walk the earth. You can do two things, at least, that he can. I don't even count them all up, but I know those two. Believe that he dwells in our hearts by believing, that he lives there, that we know it's Christ in us, that you know it's Christ in you, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, that you can actually wrap your head around with all saints, what's the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is God's will for you. This is God's will for me, for every born-again believer. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in you, in me. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's your God. That's what you can do. We believe. It's a decision of the will. You spark the thing, even though I can't. Forget it. Anyway, don't let anybody talk you out of this stuff, all right? I'm done.